In today's gospel, we continue from last week the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples at the Last Supper, some of his last words to them, we could say. And so because of that, these words have within themselves a special importance, words coming from the depths of the heart of Jesus as he eats with his disciples for the last time before his death. So as we saw last week, one of the things that Jesus does in this final discourse is he talks about his relationship to God the Father, and he talks about their relationship to God the Holy Spirit. And then also, and this is a great mystery, Jesus talks about the relationship between God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and us. So I think in these chapters, these are some of the most profound words that we have in all of the scriptures, and for that reason, they're difficult to understand. We're talking about a tremendous mystery. It's also very difficult, I find, to preach on this because it's such a mystery. How do we talk about the inner, interior relationships between the persons of the Holy Trinity? What's going on in the inner life of God himself? How do we talk about that? How do we put it in human words? All of our words are inadequate to describe the mystery that takes place within God. But an additional mystery is that God himself desires that this mystery live within us as well. It's amazing to think about. So let's look a little closer at today's gospel. Jesus, knowing that he's going to be leaving his disciples soon, first because he's dying on the cross, but second because he's going to rise and then ascend into heaven to be with his Father. So because he knows all these things are going to be happening, he doesn't want his disciples ever to think that he's abandoning them. And so he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Spirit of Truth. And so, first of all, I just want to point out how loving it is that Jesus is preparing his disciples for what's about to happen. He knows that this is going to be very difficult for them, and so he wants to give them words that can be a source of comfort to them. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. It's also important for us to hear, too, Jesus say these words. In the midst of the sufferings of our own life, it's possible for us to think that maybe God's left us, God's abandoned us. Where is God in the midst of all of this? But Jesus wants us to know, as he wanted his disciples to know, that he never abandons us. We might abandon him, like the disciples did when Jesus suffered his passion, but he never abandons us. He's faithful. So I think the question now that has to be answered is, okay, Jesus says he will not leave us, but yet next week we're going to celebrate the solemnity of the Ascension, where Jesus goes from earth to heaven to be with his Father. So how is it that Jesus doesn't leave us if next week we're going to celebrate his leaving us to go to be with the Father? So Jesus tells us the answer to this in today's gospel. He says that he will ask the Father, and the Father will send the disciples the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. Last week we heard Jesus say, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so when Jesus says, I'm giving you the Spirit of Truth, he's saying, I'm giving you my own Spirit. My own Spirit is going to come and dwell with you and in you. So here Jesus is teaching us, teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit. So what do we learn from Jesus about the Holy Spirit? Well, we hear Jesus tell the disciples that the world will not know the Spirit because the world does not see him or know him, but the disciples will know him. I think this is so interesting. Notice how Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as him and not as it. He doesn't say, you're going to know the Holy Spirit because you're going to feel it inside of you as if it was an alien who had come to dwell within them. No, actually, the Spirit isn't a thing, some foreign thing being introduced into the disciples. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Holy Trinity. And so just like with God, because the God the Father is a person and we can know him and talk to him and he can talk to us, and just like the Son, Jesus, is the second person of the Holy Trinity and we can know him and talk to him and he can talk to us, so too, the Holy Spirit, who's a person, knows us and can talk to us and we can talk to him. And of course, none of this God's talking to us happens through words that we can hear. That's a very rare experience. I've never had that happen to me. But instead, God talks to us from the inside, because this is precisely where he dwells, on the inside of us. And so he speaks to us in our hearts. So it's not an alien thing, but it's this one with a capital O, one, someone with a capital S, who knows me because he was present when I was created. He's known me my entire existence. He understands me. And he dwells within me as love, unconditional love, merciful love for me at all times, at every moment. So this is why Jesus says the world isn't going to know him. Why? Because the world demands a scientific explanation for everything. The world will only believe in what we can see and prove according to the scientific method, what we can see under a microscope, like the coronavirus. It's not real unless we can see it, figure it out, or what we can view through a telescope. This is the kind of knowledge that the world demands. But we who are Christians know a different kind of knowledge, and this is a knowledge on a much deeper level. It's a personal knowledge. It's knowledge that comes about because of relationship. It's like the love that a man and a woman who have been married for many years experience towards each other. It's like the love my mom and dad have towards each other. In a week, they'll celebrate their 40th anniversary, which is a beautiful thing. If you were to ask my dad to prove his love for my mother with scientific words, he would not be able to, because love isn't something that can be proven by the scientific method. Love is relational knowledge, experiential knowledge. How do we know that we love someone? Well, because we come to know them and they us, and there's a deep understanding that is born. And so God, who dwells within us, so much desires to establish this kind of relationship with us and wants us to know him living within us, to know him as intimately, more intimately than a man knows his wife, or vice versa. This is the kind of knowledge that God can achieve in us if we let him. So, you know, we might have some skeptics out there who say, well, Father Matt, maybe you think that the Holy Spirit lives in you, and I don't disagree with that, but why should I believe that the Holy Spirit lives within me? Well, we're not talking about a subjective experience here. By subjective experience, I mean what's true for me is true for me, and what's true for you is true for you. But we're talking about an objective truth here, something that's objectively true, something that's true of you, even if you don't know it, even if you don't feel it. And why am I talking about objective truth? Well, it's because of something that happens in the first reading today, actually, from the Acts of the Apostles, where there are new Christians in Samaria who have been baptized, but we're told that the Holy Spirit has not fallen upon them. So what happens? Well, the apostles leave Jerusalem and they go down to Samaria and they lay hands on them. And after having had hands laid on them by the apostles, then these new Christians received the Holy Spirit. And this same thing has happened to us in an objective way. I bet for at least 90% of the people listening to this right now, either via live stream or recording, that I bet 90% of the people here who have been baptized and confirmed. This is what is being described in the Acts of the Apostles here, that those new Christians in Samaria received the first fruits of the faith through their baptism. The Holy Spirit begins to live inside of them and forms Jesus within them, but that's not enough, according to the Bible, that they also have to receive the gift of the laying on of hands by the apostles, by which they receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So this is why, you know, every time I preach about confirmation, I think, oh, I've got to figure out the date that I was confirmed. So anyway, I was confirmed. I kind of remember it. But anyway, at a certain point, when my pastor felt that my classmates and I were ready to be confirmed, Bishop Lucker, who is a successor of the apostle, that's what in our Catholic theology we call the bishops, successors of the apostles. So as the apostles left Jerusalem to go confirm people in Samaria, Bishop Lucker, a successor of the apostle, left New Ulm and drove to Tyler to confirm my classmates and me. And on that day, my baptism was completed within me, and the Holy Spirit fell upon me, and I had access to all of the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings because he dwelt within me in fullness. And I'm not sure that I realized that gift for a number of years after that. Not sure that I tried to realize that gift for a number of years after that, but it was objectively true, so that when I decided to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit or live that reality, he was there for me. The Holy Spirit was there for me because I'd been baptized and confirmed. Because he was objectively living within me, even though for a long time, subjectively, I wasn't really living that reality. This is how God wants it to be for each one of us, that the objective reality within us, who is a person, the Holy Spirit, would be able to have free reign in our life and in all aspects of our life, bringing life. Jesus says, you'll know me. He says this in today's gospel. You'll know me and see me because I live and you will live. It's life we're talking about here. The good life that God brings to us because he's good. No more are we going to think of God as some slave driver or as a master who loves to stand over his children waiting for them to make a mistake so that he can chastise them. No more are we going to think in the midst of our suffering that God's punishing us or that we've been abandoned. No, none of this corresponds to the God and Father of Jesus Christ, who we've been learning about in the Gospels. Let's allow Jesus to teach us who God really is. Let's throw away our old mistaken notions of God. But instead, accept and believe in his goodness. And the fact that even if for many years we have denied the gift of our baptism and confirmation, that gift still lives within us in a personal way as a person who loves us and knows us and is just waiting for us to welcome him, who's just waiting for us to let him live his life within us so that we may truly have life. So as we bring the Easter season to a close, which is happening soon, next week we'll celebrate the Ascension, and then the week after that we celebrate Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. Let's renew in our hearts the truth of these mysteries that Jesus is talking about. That he loves us, wants to give us life, is already through his Spirit living within us and has been for a very long time, and wants us to experience him, to know him as our advocate, as our consolation, our peace there. So now, brothers and sisters, because it's it's the month of May, we're going to crown the statue of Our Lady as Queen. Let's not hesitate today to ask her for all of the grace that we need in our life. Let's ask for big grace.